So while I was drinking my coffee this morning, I happened to glance at CNN.com, as I typically do, and I saw an op-ed piece called "I'm a Millennial Nun, But I Still Want Easter." N-O-N-E, nun. Was written by Jill Filipovich, who's a journalist based in Kenya. She writes about going to church as a child and growing into adulthood as a nun, one of the 25% of Americans who claim no religious or spiritual affiliation, and how she created this her own tradition with friends of wine-soaked brunches and walks in the park on Easter Sunday. That was her routine. And she wondered, as she prepared to move to Kenya, would she find people with whom she could create new traditions? But what caught my eye was her description of, quote, observing traditionally religious holidays in sometimes untraditional ways, using them as both anchors and trampolines, ways to keep us moored in our cultures and family histories, as well as jumping points to discard what does not serve us or feels ill-fitting to our values and beliefs. Well, you use know a little something about that, I think. Our faith tradition draws upon a number of different faith traditions and sources. We draw upon humanist, spiritual, and religious teachings. And in our worship here at USG, we honor many of those traditions with celebrations such as Diwali and the Jewish High Holy Days. And next week, we'll be outside in the grove. But Easter can be a tricky day for UUs. Unitarian Universalism traces its roots back to Christianity. That's where it came from. Indeed, the term Unitarian refers to the belief in one God as opposed to the Trinity of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. As such, Unitarians did not believe in the physical resurrection of Jesus, which forms the basis of the Easter holiday. So what do we do with Easter, this most holy day of the Christian faith? Former UUA President Bill Schultz, and one of my professors this year, once compared Easter to attending a party at which the guest of honor is someone you don't know. Sounds like Bill. So how do we celebrate this day in a way that is intentional and sincere? Because yes, indeed, Easter is a tricky day for us. UU congregations across the country this morning are celebrating Easter in a variety of ways. Some are marking it with flowered communion. Some are just celebrating the coming of spring. We are doing both, in a way. But for some congregations, they just can't get past this resurrection thing. They can't believe it. It's not physically possible. It's a myth. Years ago, Reverend Homer Jack challenged us to understand the reality and usefulness of the myth behind the holiday and not desecrate it, either with commercialism or debunking. I like that. I like the use of the word debunking. We've been talking a lot here in the last few months about tolerance and acceptance of those who have different beliefs than ours. Is it possible that even if you don't believe in the resurrection, that there is a way to honor and accept the beliefs of those who do? Is it possible that we can find a way to understand the reality and usefulness of the myth behind the holiday? I say yes. So I suggest that this Easter, let's look at the life of Jesus the man, the teacher, the prophet, the healer. Jesus was the ultimate social justice activist. Whether or not he was resurrected, he died for what he believed in. He died for a better world. And to me, that is truly the embodiment of standing on the side of love. What about us? Reverend Forrest Church once asked, "Are we living in such a way that our lives will prove worth dying for?" How would you answer that question? The Solemn Reproaches of the Cross is an ancient Christian document based on the second century writings of an Italian bishop and patterned after Psalm 78. It reads in part, "I came to you as the least of your brothers and sisters. I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me. For this you nailed me to a cross." Reverend Fred Hammond likens that nailing to the cross to refusing to act, to refusing to help those in need. Some might see a sense of despair in those words, the suggestion that there's nothing we can do in this life. But I don't buy that. I think, in fact, the opposite is true, that these words are a directive to us. They are a reminder to us that there is still hope, that there is still something we can do. Too many in our society today are struggling with homelessness, poverty, and despair. They're victims of oppression, abuse, discrimination, and racism. We ourselves are bombarded daily with misogynistic, hate-filled speech. Instead of living in love, some of us barely speak to our neighbors, let alone help them. But we can do more. We can follow the teachings of Jesus and live according to his example. Even if you don't believe in his physical resurrection, there is much to be learned from his life and death. Let's not view the resurrection literally. Rather, let's think of it as a metaphorical resurrection and challenge ourselves this Easter day to do better by one another. So on this Easter day, I'll ask you to consider a few questions. How does the life of Jesus, teacher, prophet, and activist, affect you and how you live today? How has the spirit of Jesus been resurrected in you? Are you motivated to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to heal the sick? Are you motivated to stop the violence in our world, to end racism, to stop oppression and discrimination based on sexual orientation or gender identity? Are you motivated to save the planet? And I'm going to take it a step further. Are you just motivated, or are you actually doing something about it? Are you standing on the side of love, believing in its power to heal our world? Are you living in such a way that your life will prove worth dying for? I'm going to leave you today with an excerpt from Reverend Dr. Victoria Weinstein's Being the Resurrection. She writes, "He's not coming back, you know. He's not coming back unless it is we who rise for him. We who lay healing hands on the reviled and rejected like he did on his behalf. We who rage for righteousness in his insistent voice. We who love the sinner, even knowing that the sinner is no farther off than our own heartbeat. What if by some miracle, and why not a miracle, he did come back? wouldn't it be a miracle to live just for one day? As if we followed in his path. So that if he did come back, he would take a look around and say, "This is what I meant." And we could say in response, "It took us a long time, but we finally figured it out." Let us live to make it so.